It's really good to be with you this morning. There's a number of people obviously here who've not been on this journey with us. So this is module 3 of a journey. So it's probably about part 50. So you're going to probably come in, not quite understand where we are. But this journey is about us discovering how to engage the spiritual realms, to discover God in those spiritual realms. And those realms are within us because God comes to live in us. And they're also in the realms of heaven. And this journey is following two pathways. Pathway of relationship, where we engage with intimacy with God, both within and within his realm, and also responsibility, where we, as responsible children of God, begin to rule, and we begin to establish government. So in this module, First Love, we've looked at we are a house of God. God comes to live in us when we give our lives to him. That engages us with first love, where we experience what it is to be loved, accepted, affirmed by him. Also, that we engage in living water as the river of life. And as we take the yoke of Jesus, then he guides and directs us. And so we're now on the seat of government. And this is session 2 of that. Last week, we saw that the seat of rest, what it is to have God on the throne of our lives, so that we can totally trust and rest in him to be our provider, our protector, the one who will guide and direct our lives. And we're actually going to look at what that means in government today, how the government of God, the kingdom of God, gets established in and around and through us. I have a confession to make. I was going to try and fit in a whole lot in this with about 90 slides. And I thought better of it this morning, so I thought, well, I'll cut a third of them out. And then God said, no, you need to leave 30 in, so I'm going to do it in 2 parts. So I'll do this first part, which is more about the government of God within our own spirit, and next week we'll look more about the government of God in heaven and how we appropriate the thrones of God in heaven. Now, everything takes place within our own spirit. Now, our spirit is a dimensional place where the kingdom is, and we know that that first love gate is where we open. As Jesus knocks on a door and says, let me in, or let me out, depending on which way you view it, then as we open that door, his presence, Father, Son, and Spirit, fills us, and we can engage him there. Now, it's not supposed to stay there, because from our innermost being, according to John 7, is supposed to flow rivers of living water. That means whatever is on the inside of us needs to flow out through us to engage the world around us to change it. So we've engaged the Holy Spirit as living water in the river of life. We've engaged Jesus to take his yoke upon us, so we've become joined to him, and he guides and sets the direction for our lives. We engage the Father at the seat of rest and government. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And that is when everyone is, if they do not know Jesus and through him the Father, because everyone will be doing things and trying to cope with life in their own strength. And if we come to him, he'll give us rest. In other words, we won't have to try and do any of that stuff anymore. We can trust him. So our spirit is a mountain. Now, that might sound a strange thing to say for those of you who don't understand the symbolism, but mountains in the Bible are places of governmental authority. So our spirit is a place of spiritual authority. There are thrones, which are, again, places where you rule on that mountain. A throne represents the authority to rule and the place of government in our own lives. So depending on who's on the throne, there'll be different things that happen. So either if God is on the throne, we can be at rest and in a place of authority, or if we're on the throne, we'll be seeking to meet our own needs in our own strength. And that's where we end up getting into a mess, because we've all tried to meet our own needs in our own strength. And it hasn't worked out too well for most of us. So the seat of rest, which we looked at last week, enables us to live in a place of peace and trust and provision, despite the storm that may well be going on around our lives, because storms blow against all of us. We're not immune to the storms of life because we're Christians. But in the storm, we can live in the eye of it, where there is a place of peace and rest, no matter what's going on around us. Jesus is our example for this when a big storm arose when he was in a boat with his disciples. And rather than panicking, he was asleep because he'd already stated that we were going to the other side. The disciples were panicking because they weren't in a place of rest. But Jesus said, peace be still. and he gives us the authority to say the same things to the things around our lives. But peace and joy come not from our circumstances, because happiness is dependent on circumstances, but peace and joy comes from a relationship, because righteousness, peace, and joy is ours in the Holy Spirit who's in us. So we can live with an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving as a choice and be at rest, or we can moan and groan and complain and blame everybody else for what is basically our own problem. Surrender. We can live as giving a sacrifice of praise, which is our choice when we're at rest. And we can therefore live treating all the trials and the tribulations of life joyfully, and use them as an opportunity for growth and transformation. Again, our choice when we're at a place of rest. So God is calling us to a place of rest, which is also a place of authority. So when Jesus is Lord, he's on the throne of our lives, but we are also on our throne and his throne in him, because it says in the Bible that we're in Christ, in that place of authority. Ephesians 2:6 says, and he's raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. And it also says in Ephesians 1:3 that all the blessings, all the spiritual blessings, every blessing, which is the empowerment to succeed and prosper in life, is in the heavenly realms. So if we can't access that, then we're going to struggle. So his rule, where he's Lord, is a place of rest and peace. His government brings us our authority. Therefore, we can begin to rule and make a difference in life. Luke 17:21 says, for behold, the kingdom of God. Now, a kingdom is a place where a king rules. So God's kingdom is where he has authority. And it says, the kingdom of God is within you. It's only within us when we invite him into that place by giving him our lives. And when he is in us, he is in that place of the kingdom, which is limited until we let him take full control. So the kingdom is the place where God rules, where Jesus is Lord. He's called Lord about 747 times in the New Testament, depending on what version you read. But that's a lot. So it's a big principle about the kingdom. The Lord is his position for government. Remember, Jesus is his name, and that represents his identity as salvation. Christ is the authority that that name carries, and Lord is the position that that name has in government. So when we're talking about Lord, we're talking about his governmental position. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, the one who joins himself to the Lord. So in other words, the one who joins himself to that governmental position of authority is one spirit with him, operating in unity and oneness. So we've engaged living water, the yoke of Jesus, the seat of rest, and that's all about becoming joined to him and becoming one spirit and therefore operating with him in authority. So Lord is his position of government authority, and it's our position in him. So I'm seated in him, seated in me. Now, if you think of quantum physics, that's not such a strange expression, but if you think of it in a natural way, it is. But Jesus said a lot of strange things like being born again and other things like that, which don't make much sense from a natural perspective, but when you see them from a spiritual perspective, they do. So the seat of government is like being an MP. And we're in the midst of a parliamentary election right now, and a general election. An MP has a parliamentary seat and a constituency over which he is in authority, if you like, representing. And as members of God's party, if you like, we have a place of government and we have a constituency which we operate in. So when he is on my seat, I'm being trained to rule over my governmental sphere of authority as part of his kingdom government. But it's a process and a training. It doesn't just happen all in one go. So who's on the throne of your life? That's the question we need to ask. If Jesus is on the throne of our life, then God is on that seat of government, and we are being trained to rule. Even if you don't know it, you are. Because the situations and circumstances and the trials and troubles of life are our training ground to overcome and to govern. Most of us fail to overcome in government because we don't realize what the situations are. And we try and reject the situations that God is giving us as opportunities to grow. So literally, our throne is in his throne, or another way of looking at it would be that we're on his right-hand side. And that's where he is. Acts 2:34, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. So he wants us to be on his right hand. The right hand is always the place of authority. Ephesians 1:20, when he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, we looked at resurrection a few weeks ago, and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. So God has raised up Jesus effectively and seated him on his right hand in heavenly places, and now he wants us to be in the same place. Verse 21, far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So if he's the head and we're the body, then he's put everything under our feet. Therefore, he wants us to take a position of governmental authority, to rule and to establish his kingdom. And he wants to fill us with his fullness to enable us to do that. The definition of the word Lord is one with absolute power, absolute authority. Now, often in Christian circles, we talk about commitment. Are you committed to God? Are you committed to the church? Are you committed to your vision or whatever it might be? But actually, the real question is, are you surrendered? Because when you're committed, you're still in control. When you're surrendered, you have to give up and relinquish control and allow him to rule. Because you only have the amount of authority in your life that you give him in your life. So he wants us to establish government from his position of government in us. But surrender is total submission, and we don't like that. Everything about us in our human sense kicks against submission, because built into us, there's this principle, because of what happened with Adam and Eve, of choosing a wrong path, that we can do it without God, which is humanism. We can do it without God. We can get knowledge without God, and we can do it ourselves. Well, I suggest we look around the world and see where that's got us. Not in a particularly good place. That's why God wants us to surrender to him so that he can begin to change things. Because no man can serve two masters, Bible says. Jesus is no part-time lord or king. Lordship requires absolute ownership. The question is, are we surrendered to Jesus Christ completely and exclusively? Ooh, that's a tough question. Because everything kicks against that. You know, we have some of the greatest examples in the Bible of people who kicked against that. Saul, for instance, who became Paul, who kicked against God's destiny for him and tried to do it in his own way, in his own strength. Didn't work. Most of our problems in our lives are stemming from trying to rule our own lives independently of God. It gets us into problems. Luke 6:46 says this, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Was Jesus talking? No, Lord, is a contradiction in terms. I think it's called an oxymoron. You know, you can't actually say no, Lord. If he's Lord, you have to say yes. Now, saying yes is saying yes to the best things that you can possibly say yes for. Because God has our best interest, our destiny, his desire for us is to bless us, to enable us to be his children, to be like him, to have his government and his authority, to be loved, to be affirmed, to be accepted. All the things that we need in our lives, he wants to give us, but not on our terms. It has to be on his terms, which is relationship and intimacy. Question is, are we afraid to surrender to that sort of level of obedience? Do you fear letting go of control of your life? Do you struggle with trust issues? And most of us do, because we've been let down in human circumstances and situations. But God will not let us down. He is absolutely faithful and trustworthy. But we have to give in to that and trust him, which is letting go. But being a Christian means obedience in everything. And Jesus said this when it was about discipleship. Following the way of discipleship, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, means that we have to follow his way in everything. And he basically said, you can't be my disciples if you're not willing to give up everything. So it's not an easy thing. Becoming a Christian is not for the faint-hearted. But the rewards of surrender are amazing. And we can only just see the tip of the iceberg in this dimension to what God is calling us to. When we look at next week in terms of the realms of heaven and what we do there, there's so much more than we can imagine or think. So we need to be surrendered in everything, our homes, our work, our relationships, our friendships, our families, our recreation, and our finances, which is always a big problem for most people. You know, I think was it John Wesley who said, you know, man has two conversions, one for his heart and the other for his wallet. Yeah. We surrender everything, but God blesses us and equips us that we have more than enough for all that we need and an abundance for every good deed. Because his grace, his divine ability, provides for us. We are Christians and therefore representatives of the King 24/7. You can't just do it on Sundays. It's every day, all day, that we are in relationship with him and then are representatives of his kingdom. Romans 8:14:8, for if we live for the Lord, his kingdom, his governmental authority. We live for the Lord. We live for the expression of his rule on the earth. For Jesus to be Lord of your life means that he's the ruler, the boss, the master of everything. Challenging, isn't it? But if we want to outwork our rule and who we really are and our identity in him, we need to surrender. So we cannot be Lord of a part, therefore we need to surrender. But if Jesus is on the throne of my life, everything in me is subject to that rule. So Jesus is Lord of all or not Lord at all, which is a phrase that I remember from years ago. We surrender to peace or rest. We surrender to the righteousness and justice of his kingdom. We surrender so that he can exalt us to a place, a higher place of authority in our lives. There is a process. So God is Lord, in control, ruling over the circumstances of our lives only when we surrender by abdicating. Because he has given us free will and the choice to rule and do things our own way, or to surrender and abdicate and do things his way. It's our choice. It's not going to force anybody. But when you look at the results of doing things our own way, it says in the Bible, the ends of always death. It's always destruction and death doing things our way. Doing things his way, there's always abundant life and blessing. So we trust him by seeking first his kingdom. And again, he promises if we seek first his kingdom, then he will do everything else. But are we willing to trust him to do everything else? Or have we got to keep our fingers in every pie and keep our hands on everything, keep controlling of it? His purpose in this process is to train us to reign. As we mature to reign with him, we become one with him and we're a joint heir of everything that he is in the kingdom. So this seat of government is like a parliamentary seat, your constituency, your position of influence in government. Now there are different places of government in our governmental system, and I'm sure in many different governmental systems. We have backbenchers who represent the constituency as part of parliament, and their key responsibility is to make sure that things are done that represent the people that they're looking after. That's the theory anyway. Then there are junior cabinet positions who are responsible for particular areas in government. But there's also cabinet ministers who are responsible for a department in government. And we'll see that there are places that God has called us to do the work. We're called to do those things in the realms of heaven and to outwork that on earth. So when God is on the seat of government, he gives us access to our heavenly positions of lordship, kingship, and sonship, and we'll be focusing on that next week. But we don't just engage in that sort of level of responsibility without training. You know, he's not going to give a baby a machine gun. He has to train you to use that level of authority. So when God is Lord on the throne, and in our spirit, then we enter this process of training, to literally start running the family business, because we're sons of God, called to do his stuff. And that's holding the whole universe together and creating more of them. We first become his servants. That's the key in everything. If we come in with a goal of, well, I'm just going to promote myself, it doesn't really work too well. So we need to come in with a heart of being a servant. Then we can choose to be a bondservant. A bondservant says, I'm free, but I don't want to be free. I don't want to do anything other than serve you. Now, in the Bible, they bored through someone's ear and stuck an earring in their ear to prove that they were bondservants. That's what they did. And they knew that those people were free, but chose not to. They just wanted out of love and desire to serve the Master, the Lord. And once we've made that choice to surrender, to serve God, he then starts to entrust us with authority and position. And we become stewards. He trusts us with his stuff. The seat of government in our lives will bring a manifestation of the fullness of government around us. A place where God's kingdom starts to work in us and through us and around our lives to see things change. So the kingdom becomes at hand. Jesus said when he was around, the kingdom's here. You can feel it. You can experience it. It's around us. So all of us, when Jesus is Lord, can begin to exercise the authority of the king to command everything to be subject to the realm of God's kingdom. And he said some amazing things. And he made some amazing commands. And he did some amazing miracles that showed that he had authority over this realm, because he lived from a higher realm. Jesus manifested the kingdom. So the works of Jesus demonstrated the authority of him being king. The kingdom is therefore heaven's rule, and heaven's rule is higher than earth's rule. That's why miracles can change the laws of nature, because they are higher laws. Luke 10:20 says, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom changes things, brings freedom into people's lives. So Jesus demonstrated his authority in many different ways, through many different things, but over sickness, disease, and death. He healed the sick and raised the dead. That's pretty good power and authority. Over nature itself, he stilled storms, he caused things to change and be transformed. He did that over the demonic realm. So he cast out demons. He took authority over the spiritual realm. He also had authority over the vibrational frequency of matter. He had quantum authority because he knows how things work because he created it all. So in quantum authority, you get to operate in quantum entanglement and quantum tunneling. So you can move through things. And you can shift in and out of phase, and you can go into one realm and come out of another realm, because we have authority and understand the realms of how things work. So Jesus walked on the water, not as magic. He controlled the vibrational frequency of the water so it became solid, and he stepped on it because he had power over quantum energy. Therefore, Jesus had power over matter to transform it. He turned water into wine to change matter into energy, and energy into matter, and because he was able to disappear in front of people. He walked through people, literally, because he went into a different realm and came out on the other side, quantum tunnel. So he was in the realm of heaven and on the earth at the same time, and that's quantum entanglement. You can be in two places at the same time and affect both. Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if you don't know what it is in heaven, then you're going to have a lot of problems bringing authority on the earth. So this is why Jesus lived in both realms. John 3:13, there is one who has come down from heaven. He was talking about himself, the Son of Man, who dwells, has his home in heaven. So he was talking to Nicodemus, just about to tell him this amazing thing that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he prefaces it by saying that here is God, here is me, I've come out of heaven, but I'm in heaven. Same time, quantum entanglement. And therefore, he did everything on earth from his position in heaven. And that's how we do it. John 1 John 3:8, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? It says that he comes to rob, kill, and destroy. He wants to mess everything up. And Jesus came as God's Son to destroy those works. Mark 16:15 says Jesus, having come back from the dead in resurrection, having gone into the realm of heaven so that he received authority, was now saying to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. All creation means a lot more than just people. These are the signs which will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, it will hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. There were signs that if we walk in God's kingdom, then we do the same things that he did. But he has to be on the throne of the government of our life so we can do it. Luke 10:19. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on snakes, serpents, or scorpions. Now, he wasn't talking about physical ones, although you can. He was talking about spiritual powers. Over all the power of the enemy. Now, think about that. He's given us authority over all the power of the enemy to make sure they're under our feet, only if he is the head. If we want to be our own head, we don't get to do that. And therefore, things can hurt us. But when he's the head and we're his body and things are under our feet, nothing will injure you. Nothing will hurt you physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Take it as a complete nothing will injure you. But God needs to be on the throne. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority. Now, how much is all authority? All authority. It means all of it. Has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And that's a big statement, but it's the truth. Go therefore and disciple the nations. That is our mission. It's always been the mission of God's people to bring his authority into the nations and to see the world blessed. We've been blessed, empowered to prosper and succeed so that we can bless the world and bring it into the blessing of relationship with God, because all authority has been given to him. Where did that authority come from? Daniel 7:13. And this is what happened after Jesus was resurrected. He bumped into Mary, and Mary touched him, and he said, don't touch me, because I have not yet gone back to my Father. And he immediately, after he met Mary, went back into heaven, into his Father, ascended, and this is what happened. Behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man was coming, and he came up before the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And this is described in Matthew 24. And to him was given dominion. In other words, rulership, authority, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. So that's when Jesus got all the authority in heaven on earth. And guess what he did with it? Daniel 7:27. Then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms, and remember, Satan took Jesus up to show him all the kingdoms of the world, and not just this earth, but all the dimension. The greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. So he's given it to us. He's given all that authority to us. And yet most of the time we wander around like poverty-stricken slaves, because we don't realize our sonship. We don't realize who we are as children of God. We don't realize the authority that's been given to us, because a religious veil has kept us for most of it, and religious spirits want to hide it from us. And the enemy's plan is that we don't see and know the reality of our identity and who we are as his children. But he's given us that authority and dominion. Daniel 2:35 talks about a stone that was struck a statue, and he was talking about four kingdoms or ages of man, and this stone was cut out of a mountain. And again, It represents Jesus as a place of authority. And it says, this stone became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. See, the kingdom of God will fill the earth. It's just when it will happen and whether we're involved in it in our lifetime by becoming sons of God and administrating that kingdom. In the days of those kings, and this was talking about when Jesus first came, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. That kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put to an end all those kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. And when it talks about crushing, it's not talking about punishment or any of those negative things that people think about. It's talking about bringing God's people and people into a relationship with him of submission, a footstool, a place for him to rest in our lives. Isaiah 2:2. Now it will come about that in the last days, and most people believe that we're in those days, the mountain of the house of the Lord, that symbol of authority where it represents God's people, will be established as chief of the mountains. So all the other governmental structures and all the other kingdoms that are operating in this world will be nothing in comparison to the authority that's released through God's people in when Jesus is Lord. And they will be raised above all the hills. All the little authorities that there exist will be nothing. And this is what will happen when all those authorities start to crumble and fail and all the shaking of the systems of the world take place. And we've just seen a few financial ones, but think about health ones and other things that will begin to be shaken. And what will happen? All the nations will stream to the mountain of the house of the Lord, the place of governmental authority. Many people will come saying, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. When no one has got the answer to sickness but God's people, where are people going to go? When the hospitals can't cure plagues, where are people going to go? To those who live in health and wholeness, who live under the government of heaven, who are not subject to the government of this earth, and we live in a different dimensional authority. That is what God is going to do to those who are willing to embrace his lordship. Raise us up into those places of authority. Revelation 1:6, he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to God, his Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. He has made us to be a royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests who can engage heaven. Revelation 5:10, and you made them to be the kingdom, a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. We're called to rule, to reign, to establish his kingdom on the earth as it is in heaven. Revelation 11:15. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. This stuff is going to take place. It's just whether we want to be part of it or not. Romans 5:7. For those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, that's what happens when we get born again and we accept God as our Savior and our Lord, will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. We will reign in life. We're not supposed to be the tail. We're supposed to be the head, it says in the Bible. We're to reign in life. We're called to rule. That's always been God's intention. Genesis 1:28. This was God's mandate to mankind. God blessed them. He empowered them to prosper. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it and rule. That was plan number one, plan number A, and it's this. Romans 8:19, because it got messed up, the whole of creation is waiting for something. It says, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. It's waiting for you and me to come into the fullness of our sonship, to be expressing the kingdom as sons of God. That creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That is who we are. But we've not been living like that because we've been veiled with religious deception that's kept us as nobody and nothing. God is calling us to be his sons, and he's given us a place of authority. So this kingdom authority flows from the inside. It flows out of us from that place of government. And this is what it was with Jesus. John 14:10. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. See, when God's on the throne, he does his stuff through us. We just have to be willing to work with him. Matthew 21:43 says this, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to the people producing the fruit of it." That's what happened when Jesus came. He took it away from the people who had it, and he gave it to God's people now. And the question is, are we producing its fruit? Because I believe we're going to see a major shift in government taking place this year. Not just our natural government, which there will be one, but also in spiritual government. In terms of God's people around the world, there is a new government being raised up. A new order of government is going to be taking place because God's going to take it away from an order that's not been producing fruit and release it to those who are. The kingdom is going to be removed from those not bearing the fruit, but given to those who are willing to embrace their position in heavenly authority, which is what God is calling us to do. So the Lord is that position of authority, and we can be joined to him. That means in us, there's a bench of three. Now, for those of you who've got no idea what a bench of three is, it's what God does on his throne in heaven, Father, Son, and Spirit. It's the heavenly government of God. But when the Father, Son, and Spirit are in us, we have a bench of three in us. That's a reflection of heaven's government. Three in the Bible is a number of government. Four is a number of a window or a portal. Windows of heaven, portals opening up, heavenly doorways, things like that. So God's looking for us to come into agreement with heaven and earth in us. So a three and a one equals four. That means if we give him authority as his bench in us, then on our throne we will see a window open for the kingdom of God to be manifested through our lives. Heaven manifested on earth through us as a gateway of heaven. And we become like the angel of the house is to the church. Having that position of seeing God's authority and coming into agreement so that it can be manifested. So we want to see heavenly and earthly agreement. If we see it in our lives, then we'll see it around our lives and we'll see our lives change things. So that window will open for heaven's kingdom to flow in us and through us and around us. Now I think I'm going to leave it there for the teaching. So there's even more that I've not done. But we'll just go into looking at an exercise to engage this in our own lives. Now, in looking at an exercise, we look to engage our imaginations, the screen that God's given us to be able to picture things so that we can use that as a doorway. We have in us a door, in our spirit. You may have never opened that door ever before in your life. To let Jesus come into your life. You have an opportunity of doing that today. You just need to choose to give him your life. Surrender to his government and say, I want to be yours. I want to accept what Jesus has done for me. I can be forgiven, given a brand new start, and he can come to live in me as a dwelling place. So God's kingdom will be in you. You can choose to do that. For those who already know Jesus, the kingdom is in us. The first love gate is something we have to open. Because he's knocking, it says in Revelation 3:20, and he must be saying something, because it says, whoever hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. I wonder what he's saying. Something like, let me in. Now, open the door. I want to fill you with my presence and my authority and my power and my love and my joy and my peace and all the amazing things that he has for us as his children. So I want to encourage you to picture that door. On the handle of the door's on our side, so he won't open it without us opening it. So we have a choice. Will we let him into our lives? Will we let him fill us? Also within us, there is a throne, a seat of rest and government. And I want to, you can use those pictures if you like as a way of engagement. But what I would encourage you to do right now is just to come to that place of rest and peace and just begin to close your eyes. You can begin to think about that door in your own spirit. Maybe you just want to invite Jesus to become your savior, one who will forgive you and cleanse you, give you a new start, wipe out your past. Maybe you just want to, as a Christian, just open that first love gate and invite him in. So you can activate your imagination. Picture a door. You can use that picture. You can picture a door in your own mind. That door becomes a way of encountering this in your spirit. So just take a few moments and just picture that door. Picture the handle. And as a choice of your will, by faith, just open the door. And as you do, just let rivers of living water flow. River of life begins to flow into you. His presence begins to envelop you. Just welcome his presence in your spirit. Just sense his love and his joy and his peace. Just feel the security and the safety of his arms of love. Now just begin to picture that throne. That seat of rest and seat of government in your spirit, on your mountain. And just as a choice of your will, you can say to Jesus, I choose to step off the throne of my life. I choose to abdicate. Jesus, I invite you to be Lord of my life. I ask you to take your place on the seat of government and the seat of rest in my spirit. Just make that choice for yourself. As he is now seated, you can choose to surrender the government of your life to him. Just make that choice. I surrender to you. I give you total control of my life as Lord. As he's on that throne, you can step into him and take your place at his right hand. Just see yourself seated on his right hand in that position where he's going to train you to rule and to reign. That place where rivers of living water can flow through your life, where the manifestation of his kingdom to bring healing and wholeness, deliverance, where you can speak to the mountains that resist his authority and you can command them to be moved. So just think about those things that you want to see changed, those circumstances, those situations, which may be raging around you, from your place of rest and government, in the eye of the storm, start to speak. Peace be still. Start to speak to those sickness, disease, debts that exist in your life and command them to be changed. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. And the government of God will start to be released through your life. Jesus is Lord, and you are called to be joined to Him, operating from that place of rest and government within your own spirit, to bring His heavenly government around your life, that you would be blessed to be a blessing, that you would begin to subdue and overcome as the overcomer that you're called to be, to change every situation, to break every addiction, to break every sickness and disease, to take authority. As you've yielded authority, He gives you authority to be changed, to be transformed into His image, to take on His likeness, to creatively release the kingdom of God through you, to call things that be not as if they are, to change and transform your circumstances and situations. Just feel the authority that you have when you surrender to Him. No longer struggling, striving to make things work, but trust in Him. And as He directs and guides, you begin to administer His kingdom, to bring Him glory, and to train you in that position of government that belongs to you over your constituency. So I'd encourage you to don't just let this be a one-off thing, but to daily give that place of authority to Him and daily begin to learn how to govern and exercise that authority that belongs to you as His children.